Maranatha next Sabbath. You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says that we have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received the spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. God sent the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what has been freely given. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's freely given. That means it's mine for the asking. If I line my life up with God's will, you're going to see that plays a part in it, of us being able to receive all things. Now, if you're going to hang out and just habitually sin, you can forget about the all things. You ain't going to receive nothing because you're not operating in that realm. You're not operating in the kingdom where all things are present, where all things are yours. It's in the kingdom of God. Where are all things available to you? When you're in the will of God. All things are available to you. Now, if you're going to live your life like you want to and do what you want to do when you get ready and don't care about God, then you're not in the kingdom. You're in the world. You're operating in the world system. And in that system, you got to work for everything you're going to get. Ain't nothing given to you. It's a dog-eat world. You hit me in the eye, I hit you back. That's the world. You get me, I'm going to get you. You cuss me out, cuss you out. You talk about me, I talk about you double. See, that's the world. That's that system. The Bible says you have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that you might know that you, listen, that you might know. See, the problem is a lot of people don't know everything been given. That you might know the things that are freely given to you by God. They're freely given because I'm in the family. Hallelujah. When I line my life up with the will of God, everything, all things become mine. You know the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, all things are yours. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Everything is ours. God's given to me everything that pertains to living. Everything I need to do God's will has already been granted. I just have to receive it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for it. Amen. The Bible says God gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. God is always in the giving business. Now, there's two things, two primary things that will keep you from receiving from God. The first one is pride. So if you walk in a haughty spirit and you're prideful, you can't get what God have for you. God resists the proud, but he does what? He give grace to the humble or to the lowly. God give grace to the humble. And that grace that he give you is the divine enablement to be able to partake of what he has provided for you. It's God's favor in your life, manifested in your life. Now, turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to show it to you. You say, well, Pastor, if God done made all things available, how come I ain't got all things working? Could it be pride is working? This is one thing that will hinder you from receiving, is a prideful heart. And I'm gonna break pride down to you. What is pride at its core? Pride at its core is selfishness, self-will, self-ambition, self-righteousness, self-promotion. Pride is independence from God. Just wanting your own way. That's what pride is. In James chapter 4, look at the first verse there. I was reading this the other day, and boy, I saw something in this scripture I ain't never seen before. I like it like that when you read the Bible for years and years. Think you know it. And you read, and God show you another application. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? He said, how come y'all fussing and fighting? Where does fussing and fighting come from? He says, it's coming from your desire. Your lust, your desire for things that's not in line with God's will. Why were they fussing and fighting? Because of pride. Pride is wanting your way. Pride is selfishness. Pride is manifested in selfishness, self-will, which results in wrong motives and strife and not walking in love. You see, unforgiveness is a manifestation of strife. If you got a grudge against somebody, you're in strife with them. You hadn't let it go. You're manifesting. Unforgiveness is a manifestation of strife. And if you have strife working, there's confusion and every evil work at work. So you can't have the blessing like that. So you have to judge yourself in the area of pride regular. You can walk in humility one day and the next day be blooming in pride. You can have pride in full bloom the next day. Can't you? Can't you humble yourself one day? You know, church is day everybody humble themselves. Oh, we get low before the Lord. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Monday morning, 7 o'clock, the alarm clock go off, is another beast rise up. Another spirit come on you on Monday morning. That pride start working. You don't tell me what to do. Nobody say that on Sunday. You don't tell nobody. You don't tell me what to do on Sunday. You say that on Monday. You don't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. It's what I will. It's what I want. My desire. This is what I want in life. On Sundays, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Do anything you want me to do till Monday morning. So one act of humility does not negate pride from working in you. You have to stay humble all the time. Humility has to be a way of life because the Bible says that you should be clothed with humility. That means you never take off humility. You clothe yourself in it every day. You humble yourself. This is one of the keys to receiving. Now, the word receive means to take with the hand. It means to welcome. It means to take to oneself. So when God gives something and I receive it, that means I take it with the hand. I receive it to myself. I take it. I take possession of it. When I receive from God, that means there's an exchange that took place. I reached out with the hand of faith and I received it to myself. I welcome this into my life. Lord, I welcome this. Go ahead and do it. Lord, you want to multiply grace? Go ahead and do it. I welcome multiplication of grace. Lord, you want to multiply peace to me? Go ahead and do it. You want to multiply strength to me? Go ahead and do it. I receive multiplication. I take it with the hand right now. I thank you that it's mine right now, that it's working in me right now. I take it. I welcome it. I want it. I need it. And it's mine now. That's how you receive from God. But pride won't let you receive from God. First of all, pride is not going to acknowledge God. Pride wants its own way. When you have an attitude, it's my way or the highway, you can have it your way, but you ain't gonna like what you get. You can have it your way, but I tell you what, that's the wrong way to have it. You ain't gonna like what you get. You might get what you want, but you ain't gonna want what you got. Pride. See, pride manifests it. You lust. That means you desire. Everybody have desire. Things you want in your life. Things you want to see. Things you want to do. Places you want to go. You know, things that you want to do in life. He said, you desire and have not. Oh, you kill and desire to have. See, you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. So some people are fussing and fighting trying to get their way. Some people get what they desire by fussing and fighting and just rolling over people. Get in, get out, or get run over. That's the attitude. So you can fight in war and get what you want, taking things. But you're not going to have God. You're not going to have God's best that way. See, he said, you fighting and you warring, and you have not. He said, you ask, but you don't receive. Now, look at the next verse. You ask and receive not. Why? If I ask God, why am I not receiving? He answered the question. What does he say? You ask amiss that you may what? Consume it upon what? Your own desire. That word lust there means pleasure, which means you're asking God for only things that pleasure you, and you're not concerned about pleasuring him. You just want what you want. You know, children sometimes just want what they want to please them. But you ask them to do something that's going to please you, and what they do? They get an attitude with you, right? Hey, would you take out the trash? I don't want to take no trash out. All right, that's something that would please me if you did it. Would you wash the dishes? Would you wash the car? Would you run an errand for me? Would you make up your bed? That's a desire that would please me. I don't care about what you want. Just take me to the store to get them new tennis shoes. How many of y'all see that? So God have desire for us, things that he want us to do. But if we have the attitude, look, just bless me with peace. Yeah, but I asked you to do this right here. Look, just give me the peace. I ain't concerned about what you want. Just meet my need. That's asking amiss. I'm not concerned about what you want. I know what I want, what I need, what I desire. You just get busy meeting what I got, what I have need of. You do it. Yeah, but would you do this for me? No. Just give me what I need. You ask amiss. That's why you don't receive. Because you're only asking for things that pleasure you. When really, in your asking, you ask for things that pleasure him. And when you ask for things that pleasure him, then he manifests pleasure in your life in the performance of whatever he's asked you to do. This is one of the reasons right here that people don't receive is that that pride rise up and people are self-centered and they're only concerned about themselves and they're not concerned about the will of God at all. They say, I don't care about what doing God's will. I just need God to bless me. How many of y'all ever met people like that? Look, I ain't got time to live for the Lord. Pray for the Lord to heal me. I know Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed. You gonna do the will of God? No, I ain't got time right now. You know, I got things going on right now. I ain't ready right now. But ask the Lord, pray for the Lord to heal me, please. All right, what are they doing? Just for their own pleasure. You ask amiss, and you receive not. You have not. That's the reason why people don't receive. That's one of them. And it has its roots in pride. It's in pride. And then verse 6, but he gives more grace. He goes on, he talks about friendship with the world, makes yourself an enemy with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture say in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusted to envy? But he gives more grace. Wherefore, said God, God resisted the proud, but give it grace to the humble. God give grace to the humble. I'm trying to show you where the roadblock is at. This is worth our time. Because I'm showing you where the hang up is at in your receiving from God. Because God done already gave it. It's freely given. He don't give grudgingly. He don't have regrets about what he done decided to give to you. He wants you to receive. And now he's showing us where the hang up is at, and it's in pride. It's in selfishness. It's in being self-centered. Wanting our own way. Having a haughty spirit. Because haughty people do not submit to God. The Bible says the proud seek not God. So if you're not seeking God, there's no way you can have his blessing. The second reason is doubt. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He said, for this reason I'm telling you this, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. You see, now he's bringing you to a place of humility. See, if you're going to receive from God, you got to get in that humble place. And walking in humility is walking in love. It's walking in God's will. It's doing things God's way. That's what humility is. It is lowering yourself. It is you coming under his will, submitting yourself to him. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will run from you. You see that? So, James chapter 1. Turn over to James chapter 1. I'm going to show you. So he said, listen, let's get this. He said, when you pray, do what? Say, believe you receive.
Believe you receive.
Believe you receive.
Believe you receive.
Believe I receive.
Believe I
receive.
When I pray,
I believe,
I receive,
and I shall have it.
When I pray,
believe I receive it. You have to believe you receive it. That means you go to one of those precious promises that have been given to us, and you say, now, Lord, you said this is mine. This is what your word says. You said, this is mine. Now, you're a great giver, and you gave this to me liberally. And you want me to have this because this is part of my inheritance. And, Lord, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus, and I pray in faith, believing I receive this now, and I got it. I believe I got it right now. This is how you receive from God. Hallelujah. Hold your place in James. Go to Matthew 21. Listen, listen. People sat in church all their life and never hear a word like this. Nobody ever tell you how to receive from God, how to get what's already yours. You see, Jesus has already made redemption available. It is already yours, but you have to step up to the plate and welcome it, take it with the hand, take it to yourself and receive it. In Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus answered, said to them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not." See that doubt right there? If you have faith and doubt not. The word doubt there means to be undecided, to be uncertain about, to lack conviction, to mistrust, to be skeptical, to tend to disbelieve, to fluctuate in the mind. See, when you doubt, you're fluctuating in the mind. You're uncertain. You're not sure. You're waffling between two opinions. You can't make a judgment. See, when you doubt in your heart, then there's a wavering that goes on, a fluctuation that goes on in your mind, the way you're not really sure that God's going to manifest this in your life. So he said, if you have faith and doubt not. See, doubt will stop you from receiving from God. If you fluctuate, if you're uncertain, if you waver. Now, the word waver means, it means to vacillate irresolutely between choices. It means to move, to weave, to sway unsteadily back and forth. That means you move from this spot to this spot, from this conviction to that conviction. You can't ever settle down. Is this really God's will? So if you don't know the will of God, the devil will keep you in a wavering spot. He'll keep you swaying between choices where you can't ever really decide. Well, I believe the Lord want me healed. Well, I'm not sure if the Lord want me well. Well, I believe the Lord want me blessed, but I don't know if God want me blessed now. So you vacillate between choices. You can see something in the word and say, yep, that's mine. But then you look at the circumstance and you say, well, I don't know. Don't look like that's going to happen for me. Yeah, I know the words say that, but vacillating, changing, swaying back and forward. Jesus said, he said, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things. There's that word, all things again. He's freely given us all things. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. Ask in faith. Ask in prayer. Ask in faith. When you pray, you have to ask in faith. In all things, whatsoever thou shalt ask in faith, believing you shall what? Receive. There's a key right there. Hallelujah. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So Jesus is teaching them how to receive the resources and the power and the grace and the anointing and everything you need for your life. He showed us right here how to get it. So I can't doubt, I can't vacillate. In other words, I have to come to a conviction in my heart. This is the will of God, and I refuse to live without this, because this is mine, because the word says so. God said, this is mine, and I take it now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now hold your place in James. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Listen to this. I'm going to show you why you receive now. Why you're able to receive this. This is a prerequisite for receiving. Look at verse number 22. And whatsoever you ask, or we ask, or I ask, we receive of him. I receive of him. You receive of him. Because we do what? We keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. So that tells me there that I'm doing what's pleasing to him. What's pleasing to the Lord? That I walk in love. That I humble myself. That I walk by faith and not by sight. You see, I'm living my life now based upon the revealed will of God that I know that is pleasing to him. So I'm not living my life to please myself. I make pleasing him my focus in life. And when I do that, he said, when you ask, you receive because you keep his commandments and you do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's why I'm able to receive. Because now I have aligned my heart with his heart. I have aligned my will with his will. So it's not my will and his will. There's not two wills here running parallel. My will is now blended with the will of God. I have submitted my will. Here's the will of God right here. The will of God is here. And I take my will and I allow God to mesh my will with his will. So that we don't have two wills now. There's just one will, and I'm submitted to God. And now when I ask, because now I'm going to ask in line with all of those precious promises. When I ask, he said, now you can receive. Now I don't have to doubt because I know the will of God, and I'm not doubting, and I'm not full of pride. I'm submitted myself to the will of God. Now when I ask, it is done. Glory to God. I receive it then. I'm able to receive anything that he has because my will and his will have now become synonymous. They are one. I've lost my will to his will. And now I'm doing what pleases him. And guess what? He's going to pleasure me. Now multiplication is possible. Glory to God. Now great peace is possible. Now great grace is possible. Now, great provision is possible. Just think about it right now. For what God's called you to do, how much resources do you need from heaven to do all that God done put in your heart and mind? I'll bet you, if you align your will with his will, it's more than you got right now. So God has desire to bring more into your life to enable you to finish your course. If some of you knew what God had planned for you, you would drop your will like a hot pancake. You understand? You let go of your will so fast, you would throw your will away. You would get rid of that thing. You'd be getting away from your will so fast. If you could just peel back the curtain and look over into eternity and see what God's plan for you, you would abandon your will immediately. If you could just see all God's made available to you, you would run from your will. You would run to a place to get on your knees. You would humble yourself so fast. If you could only see what he had planned for you, you would abandon your will if you could see what God had for you, and you would receive his will. And because I'm going to tell you, he got a great life plan for you. And everything that you need, he has already given. In fact, if you would check out my heavenly account right now, there's so much in my heavenly account that God is waiting on me to make access. Papa Ron called me about a week ago. He said, now, son, this is going to hurt you. I said, okay, Papa Ron, give it to me. He said, the Lord told me to tell you that you ain't asked for enough. He's not happy